This show is a proud member of the Dice Tower Network, the Justice League of board game podcasts. Find out more at Dicetower.com.
Welcome to another episode of the Family Gamers Podcast. This is episode 208.
When you dish upon a star.
What?
When you dish upon a star is the title of the 208th episode of The Simpsons.
That's a long time ago now.
It was a long time ago. There are an impressive number of Simpsons episodes, but this was in fact episode 208 where Homer Simpson, this is the fifth episode of season 10, which is still like 20 years ago, where Homer Simpson becomes the personal assistant for husband and wife team Alec Baldwin and Kim Basinger.
Okay.
And as Simpsons episodes go, hilarity ensues. Not unlike this podcast. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Family Gamers Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Andrew, and I am joined by my lovely and wonderful wife, Anitra.
That's me.
As always, this episode of the Family Gamers Podcast is sponsored by First Move Financial.
Did you know that the 401k you have from an old employer may be getting weighed down by fees? Brightscope recently reported that average fees for small plans range between 1.5% and 2%, with plenty of plans paying more than 2% a year in fees, unquote. Luckily, your 401k has to report the fees that you're paying, so if you look at your statements carefully, the fees should be in there. To give some context, if you left $10,000 in an old 401k that was charging a 2% administration fee, 20 years later, that fee would have cost you almost $5,000. If you want help looking at your 401k, or 401ks, to make sure that you're not overpaying, go to firstmovefinancial.com/familygamers to set up a time to chat.
And this may actually be true for many kinds of managed accounts. We found out a few years ago that the 529s for our kids had higher fees than some other accounts that we could have used. And so we were able to move those and save some money. So it's not just 401ks. It could be another kind of managed account. Thank you so much to First Move Financial for sponsoring this episode of the show. So Anitra, today is August 22nd.
Yes.
That's the day we're recording this show.
Today is the day you shaved your head.
I shaved my head today.
For the kids.
Actually, the kids shaved my head today. And then you helped.
They needed some help.
You know what? It was a lot of fun to do that. We raised over $500 for One Mission to support their mission of helping pediatric cancer patients get through the treatment process. And I mean, we originally opened it with a goal of $250. We blew past that, so I doubled it to $500 and we beat that as well. I couldn't be happier with what we've done. I know I've talked to our contact at One Mission. They are delighted as well. They had a really hard time this year because they couldn't do their in-person event. So it was a delight for us to be able to help them out. And thank you so much, so much to those people in the community who really stepped up and made a donation to help One Mission. Thank you also to First Move Financial for matching the first $50 as well as us matching the first $50. So, yeah, as of right now, we're at $552 for One Mission. So that's awesome.
Cool. Yep. So let's tease a little bit what we're going to talk in the second half of the show.
Absolutely.
We got talking about having variety in your game library and maybe finding ways to add variety without spending a whole lot of money.
Right. And we just talked about a great organization that's struggling with income. Lots and lots of people around the country right now are struggling with income. But you know what? That doesn't mean that they can't play games. It doesn't mean that you don't want to play games just because you're less fortunate in other parts of your life or you just don't have that extra cash lying around. And so what we're going to do this week is we're going to talk about ways that you can maybe add to your collection by picking up an inexpensive game under $20 brand new.
Every game we picked for this episode is under $20.
So we are going to talk about that in the second half of the show. In the first half, as always, we're going to talk about
what we've been playing.
All right, let's get right to it. So last week on the show, we had Mark Spector from Grand Gamers Guild talking about Endangered New Species, the expansion that is still on Kickstarter for another day or two when this show comes out.
And the next day, we set up Endangered and played it with your mom.
We did.
And we had a great time.
We saved the giant pandas.
We saved the giant pandas, and they were so cute.
They were adorable. They were screen-printed little meeples. We had a great time with that game. I'm really enjoying that game. In fact, we decided, I think today, to pull the trigger and back New Species.
Well, I decided last week, but we actually did it today. So, you know.
Well, I don't know. You were six back and one, forth half a little bit. Another. And I, you know, I didn't want to have a situation where I thought that you had committed to something and then I acted on it and then I got in trouble. You
know? The important thing
husbands
is...
Husbands know, you know what I'm talking about.
The important thing is we backed it.
We did.
And I will be able to use it as a teaching device, sneaking learning in through games in about a year.
And they are doing unbelievably well. As of right now, we already said it's the 22nd, it's Saturday. As of right now, their goal was $15,000. They are at $91,000 in this Kickstarter.
That is amazing.
They've got just under a week to go. I expect them to bust through that six-figure mark, which couldn't happen to a better guy, right? So at 100, this is huge, by the way, at $100,000, are you ready for this? Do you know what the stretch goal for 100 is?
I don't remember.
Haha. Campaign mode.
Whoa, that is huge.
Yes. The fight never ends. Link your games together with variable starting conditions based on your win or loss in the previous game. Campaign mode is still in development. The current design includes 12 campaign cards, but this may change as it is developed further. This is a Kickstarter-only bonus that will not be available in the retail version. So, head on over to Kickstarter, look up New Species, think about it. If it's right for you, go ahead and back. I don't like telling people that they need to back something, so I'm not going to do that, but it's definitely something to think about.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so that was Endangered New Species. And if you follow us on Twitter, you may have noticed that we were tagged by @TheOneTar a few days ago, who is T from Haba. So T screenshotted our DMs.
Where you had been saying, we can't stop playing Five or Findin', it's all your fault.
Yeah, pretty much it was like, so this is kind of taking our family over, and you did not warn us, and I blame you. But that's the other game that I have played this week. That is the other game that I have played this
week. Yeah, I've played it a bunch. It is now my 7th most played game of the year. We got it about 2 weeks ago. So, yeah, it's really good for certain people, and we happen to be those people.
Well, I mean, this is one of those things that we talk about in our reviews frequently. It's, hey, this game did not work for us, but if you like XYZ, it will work for you.
This
Guess
is the
what?
Flip side of that.
This game worked for us.
This game works really well for us. The only person in our family it does not work really well for is Elliot, who is 6, and he just can't quite wrap his head around what he's supposed to be looking for. So trying to explain that to him while there's sort of an invisible countdown running doesn't work real well.
I bet you if one of us, you or me, sat down with him and basically threw their game away and explained the thought process and so only got one or two shapes, it would start to come together in his head and then he would start to ramp up on it. But we've talked about this a lot. He is that agent of chaos in these games. This is a roll and write game where everybody has their own board. So he can feel like he's part of the action. If he gets one or two, it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah, he's definitely already internalized the fact that this is not a game he's going to be good at, he's going to be competitive at, but he can enjoy playing along with everybody else.
And you know what? I mean, we can rule shift this thing. We can multiply his points by 3 until he gets better and then multiply them by 2 and things like that to help him feel like he's being competitive. So if he gets one or two shapes, you know, he's got a chance.
Well, and I think that's one of the great things about Five or Findin' is there is sort of a sense of winning an endorphin hit when you find the type of shape you're looking for and everything fits just right, even if you end up with fewer points than somebody else in that round. So you get those endorphin hits of the little wins no matter what.
I agree.
All right. I played a couple other games. My big kids pulled out Barnyard Bunch from our stack of games from Haba to review. Barnyard Bunch is intended to be basically a my first game. Like, not super young, but pretty young. And here I was playing it with a 9-year-old and 11-year-old. And they thought it was hilarious. They came up with all of the animal sounds for the 8 different animals and then decided that every time an animal moved forward, it needed to say the sound of the animal on its right. And every time it moved backwards, it needed to say the sound of the animal on its left. And they were cracking themselves up by adding this extra layer of difficulty into what's a, you know, fairly straightforward young kid level co-op game.
Sounds super cute.
They had a great time, and they definitely will be up for playing with their little brother, which was kind of the goal.
So this is the game where you are playing as essentially the farmer and the dog trying to keep the barnyard animals from running away from the barn?
Yes. Each animal has its own track in almost a starburst shape, all of them pointing away from the barn. And you roll a die. You move any animals that are on colored spaces that match the die roll, and then you draw a card. And the cards, some of them will move animals forward, some of them will move animals back, and every once in a while you'll get something like the farmer or the dog, which lets you choose an animal to move backwards one space with the farmer or all the way back to the barn with the dog. And that's it. If you can get through the entire stack of cards without any of the animals running away, you win.
Yay.
What else did we play? We played some Cupcake Academy. So I think I said last week that this played a lot better with two players, and it did.
Mm-hmm.
Asher sat down and asked me to play some Cupcake Academy with him, and then Claire kind of wandered over. She's like, I said, do you want to try playing again? So we played some three-player Cupcake Academy, and we really enjoyed it. It got a little frenetic, so I'm not sure I would want to go to four players at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But with three players, I think we were doing well in everybody kind of trying to figure out what pieces they need and what pieces they needed to get rid of. And sometimes being able to get out of their heads enough to see, oh, I have to give this piece to this person because they need it. So it involved a level of teamwork in a way that I don't normally get to see with the kids, which is nice.
No, that's cool. I like the game a lot because it allows you to flex on player count. It's got enough components in the box to support a higher player count, but you don't always use them. You can move back to a different stack of cards for two players, for example. You know, we talked about this a few weeks ago. And there's a little bit of puzzle solving that you can do on your own, independently of the other players who are trying to move their stuff around, because you can look at someone else's stuff and say, oh, I know I've got that orange one. I can probably move my stuff around so that when the center is free and they need it, I can give it to
them. I can give it to them.
So there's a little bit of solo processing, even in a cooperative three or four, whatever player game. And having that sense of personal agency, I think, makes a big difference. You don't feel like every move that you're trying to make is tied to what someone else is doing directly, because you've got that shared spot that's like an indirect relationship. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And sometimes you use the shared spot just as an extra spot for yourself to move stuff around that you need to move.
Right. Yeah. I think the game does a great job of balancing personal agency and cooperative teamwork.
So that was Cupcake Academy from Blue Orange.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
I've got one more. I brought all our kids over to a friend's house to swim a couple of days ago. And when the kids finally decided they were done with the pool, they all came inside and they kind of split to the four winds. And the mom and I kind of looked at each other and were like, well, do you want to play a game? So we pulled out Drop It, which they happen to have, and had a great time with it. I was very happy that it was in their stack of kid games, easily accessible, because it's nice, it's fast, and everybody can play it. And that's Drop It from Cosmos, which you've probably heard us talk about a billion times.
Nope, I've never heard of that game before.
Yeah, right.
You know, that's really it for us this week. It was a weird week, so we just didn't have a chance to get a lot of games played. I don't really know how that happened.
It's just been a busy week for the adults. The kids have certainly been playing a lot of games with each other,
which is awesome.
Nice to see.
Yes.
I should mention, while the adults were playing Drop It the other day, all of the older kids were playing the Game of Life. And I will never forget hearing a 12-year-old boy scream, "You're cheating! Where's your wife?"
That's definitely not something you want to hear anyone say to someone else.
It took me aback, and then I was like, wait, they're playing the Game of Life. Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Wow. Okay. All right. Well, on that note, I think we're going to take a break. We are going to play for you a snap review for Super Cats.
Oh, Elliot is adorable in this. You're going to love it.
It's a lot of fun. And when we come back, we're going to talk about ways to expand your gaming collection without breaking the bank. Oh.
A giant robotic dog is threatening to destroy all the cat food factories.
Assemble your brave team to face down the RoboDog. The cats of the world are depending on you.
This is a snap review for Super Cats.
Super Cats is a fast-paced party-style game for 3-6 players from the OP. It was designed by Antoine Bauza, Ludovic Montblanc, Nicolas Ori, and Theo Riviere.
Let's talk about how to play. First, you lay out the 6 activation cards where all the players can see them. This is just like a cheat sheet for what actions you can take. Then, each player takes a set of 5 cat cards and places them in a row, cat side up.
The activation cards show you numbers from 0 to 5 that you can play.
But what does play mean?
Well, let's start with talking about the cat round.
Cat round comes first.
In this round, all the players shout, "Super Cats!" And then hold up a hand showing any number of fingers from 0 to 5. The player who is showing the largest unique number wins that round.
They apply the effect shown by the activation card matching their number. They'll get to flip at least one of their cat cards to its super cat side, but may have to give an advantage to other players if they won with a 4 or a 5, or they may get a bonus themselves if they actually manage to win with a 0 or a 1.
Continue your rounds of super cat until one player transforms their 5th cat into a superhero.
What happens when you have a team of cat superheroes, Elliot?
The RoboDog comes.
That's right. Their team of super cats are the heroes, and they're ready to face down
the RoboDog.
Set up the 12 RoboDog cards for the hero team to fight. All other players now play as the RoboDog.
Yeah, we get to be the villains.
And then players don't shout super cat anymore. What do they shout, Elliot?
RoboDog!
And hold out one hand just like before.
But now, if the hero player manages to show a unique number, they discard cards from the RoboDog, equal to the number they held up.
Oh no! The RoboDog is disintegrated.
If the hero raises a number that matches one or more of their opponents in the RoboDog, their attack is blocked, and the RoboDog damages their fighters!
What?!
The hero has to flip some of their super cats back over to their regular side.
Oh no!
Elliot, what happens if the hero discards the last piece of the RoboDog?
Then they win.
But if all the super cats become regular cats again, who wins?
The RoboDog.
All the players who are playing as the RoboDog. And the cats of the world howl for a dinner that will never come!
No!
No!
Oh, sorry.
All right, so as you can tell, Super Cats is a fast and funny game. What else do we think about it?
Well, trying not to match in one round and then trying to match in round 2, it keeps it interesting. It flips the game on its head so it doesn't feel like you're playing the same thing forever.
Exactly.
I think the game is very well set up with variations for the different player counts in the RoboDog round. With 3 players, the dogs get to use both hands to try to catch the super cat with as many numbers as possible.
Using both hands is not easy, though.
Even for adults, it was hard to put 2 different numbers out with your 2 separate hands.
On the flip side, at 5 or 6 players, the super cat gets either 1 or 2 extra helper cat cards.
Silver cat and gold cat.
And they will absorb some of RoboDog's hits.
Honestly, there's not a whole lot of strategy here. It is a silly and simple game that nearly anyone can play. The recommended age is 8+, but as you can tell, we've got our 6-year-old, and he can play as long as they're not going to get frustrated by quickly trying to figure their fingers out to put a number out that they really want.
No matter how many players we've tried, a game of Super Cats rarely takes more than 15 minutes. It's a great quick filler game for all ages to play together. Our games have always felt more friendly than Cutthroat, in part because the second half of the game requires teaming up from all the players who didn't win in the first half.
The game comes in a very small box, so it's the kind of game that you can bring almost anywhere. It's super convenient, and it's very, very easy for anyone to learn how to play.
We found even our friends who don't care for cats still liked the game because it's not all cats.
So Elliot, what will we rate Super Cats from the OP?
4.5 superhero cats out of 5.
And that's Super Cats in a snap. And we're back. So we're going to talk about some fairly new games that you can add to your family library for under $20. These could really help add a little bit of variety, try out mechanics and styles that you haven't tried before without spending a whole lot of money.
And you know what? Honestly, let's just start this off right with a game we've already talked about, and that is Fiberfindin'.
I mean, it should be no surprise at this point. Fiberfindin', highly recommended. I will tell you right now, it plays really well as a solo game too.
Yeah, so there's two modes in the game. The standard mode, which is what we've talked about because it's the one we've played the most, and there's also the puzzle mode. Because there's these two different modes, there's lots of replayability between them. We've played this game across three different generations of gamer, from our kids, obviously, to my mom has played.
Mm-hmm.
Immediately picked this game up. You know, we mentioned before our six-year-old struggling with it a little bit, but I think he would start to pick it up if we really sat down and explained it to him. So this is a game that's super easy to understand. Lots of different modes, scales well.
It's kind of puzzly. I like the way it feels like a puzzle, but feels very different than most other roll and writes I've tried. And like I said, you get that endorphin hit every time that you find a shape that works.
I agree. This is a great roll and write that for some reason kind of fits a little bit of that polyomino thing for me too, because the shapes are polyomino shapes that you're trying to draw out. It reminds me a lot of a game like Boggle, for example.
Yeah, it really makes me think of crosswords and crossword puzzles. Mm-hmm. It uses a similar skill set in your brain.
So that is Fiberfindin' from Haba. Again, every single one of these games is under $20. This game is right about $20.
Next, let's talk about one of our big hits of the spring, Abandon All Artichokes from Game Right.
I mean, we could almost just list the entire Game Right catalog in
as far as the under 20
in the show
part,
notes for this. I don't know how it is that they come up with games with such great production quality for such low prices. They've got some fantastic contact somewhere to do it. I don't know. It's amazing. But Abandon All Artichokes, it comes in this lovely artichoke heart-shaped tin.
Which is kind of a pain to deal with.
Yeah, it's a deck of cards. I mean, that's really all it is. But this is what they call a deck wrecking game. It is kind of like a reverse deck builder where you start the game with a deck of 10 artichokes and a hand of 5. And your goal is to draw a hand of cards that has no artichokes in it. And that's
It is in fact a deck builder, but it's a deck builder game that is heavy on the shedding the useless cards, because that's the goal, is to end up shedding enough of the useless cards to draw a hand that has no artichokes. So I really liked the unusual nature of it, and it moves so much faster than most other deck builders I've played. And the art doesn't hurt either. It's really cute, and I feel kind of bad for the artichokes when all of the other vegetables are favored over them. But I think they're gross, so I don't feel that
bad. You think artichokes are gross?
I do.
Really?
Yes.
Like even when they're in like a cream dip for chips?
Yes.
Stuff? What? Are you kidding?
No, I'm not kidding. I mean, I think they're gross.
So that actually dovetails well, because you don't like to eat them, and you said they're adorable. So
yes.
I suppose that works for you. But I don't know, man. Like those creamy dips with the artichokes in them and the whatever. Anyway, so that is Abandon All Artichokes from Game Right. It's a game that does require some reading, so it probably doesn't skew quite as young as Fiberfindin' does, but any basic reader could play this game. Probably 8+ would be the age range on this.
Yeah, and if you've got a kid who's not reading yet but has a good memory, it's the same set of vegetables every time, and every vegetable you see has consistent powers. So you can work through with a little bit of help as long as they've got a decent memory and they can look in their hand and say, oh yeah, I remember drawing that card. I know what it does. All right, next, Clip Cut Parks from Renegade.
So this is an interesting one, because this is a take on a roll and write.
Except with scissors.
It's a clip and write.
It is a roll and cut.
A roll and cut. Sure. That's a better way to say it. But the thing about this game is that for us, it didn't really hit enough different nuances on the roll and write theme for us to keep this game in our collection. But that doesn't necessarily mean it's not going to work for someone else.
Yeah, I think it's a good game. It just didn't quite strike the right chord for us. And right now, I think you can get it for under $15. Mm-hmm. So it would be well worth looking into. If it sounds interesting at all to you, the idea of clipping out your parks and then setting them on your little park cards and seeing who can manage to create their parks most efficiently so they can finish first. It's certainly unusual and not like any other game I've played. For that alone, I wanted to include it in this list.
Yeah, it certainly does have a very, very unique take on a genre that's really pretty saturated right now.
Yeah, rapidly becoming quite saturated.
So that's Clip Cut Parks from Renegade Game Studios. The next game on our list is a game that's been out for a little while. It's got a couple different variants. We picked up 5-Minute Marvel, but if you're not a huge Marvel fan, there's also 5-Minute Dungeon, which is more classic fantasy dungeon romping kind of things. This is a game that is a real-time game.
Yeah, oh my goodness, and you don't need every player to be a reader to play, as we have discovered.
Right.
You do need somebody who can read, because the little villains that come out generally have some effect or something you need to read. But if mom or dad or older brother can read that out quick, then everybody can keep moving forward, because the rest of the game is just symbol matching.
Right, so enemies will come out and you need to play enough heroes or hero abilities to match the symbols to defeat the enemies. And you've just got to get through that enemy stack in your 5 minutes. So it's a little bit frenetic, but it's a ton of fun. You can flex the player count up and down pretty easily. And that is 5-Minute Dungeon or 5-Minute Marvel from Spin Master. Again, right at that $20 price point.
All right, I'm going to recommend another real-time game. Parents, don't hate me. I am recommending a toy that makes noise. I know. But it's Rob Devio's voice.
That's true. It is.
This game is Heist, which we reviewed, I think, last fall. Heist is a real-time game where you're moving stuff around and it's got this big, bulky safe in the middle, which doesn't really do much other than speak to you.
And have buttons.
And has buttons. That's true. We have a great time with this game. It's kind of packaged and marketed as a kid's game, but honestly, this is a game that 3 or 4 adults could sit down with at the end of a long night and just be like, all right, guys, 5 minutes. We're going to try it. We're going to see if we can break the safe, get all the money, and win the game. It's so ridiculous. You're just passing stuff around and pushing buttons, but it's fun, and it does that real-time idea in a different way, a more toy-like way, but not so toy-like that it would turn off an adult.
It definitely does, especially at like level 5, get so hard just got to be on your game.
Requires an intense amount of focus.
So that's Heist from University Games. You can pick up Heist. It goes on sale fairly frequently. Right now, you could find it for under $15. It's about $13 on Amazon.
Yep.
Another game I want to mention is a game that almost every person I have played this with has said, man, I got to get myself a copy of this, and that is Similo.
We should get a copy of the new one.
There is a new one, Similo Myths. So right now, there is Similo History, Similo Fables, and then, as we said, the new one is Similo Myths. Similo is a very, very basic cooperative clue-giving game where you play out a grid of faces, essentially, face up, and the clue giver will select one of them that is their chosen face, and they use other face cards from the deck to give clues like, my chosen person is like this figure or is not like this figure, and they get 5 opportunities to try to get everybody else to reason their way to the correct character.
We have had so much fun with this game. You brought it to a lot of cafe game nights before we had to cancel those. It's great for playing with kids, too. I think I'm probably going to pull out Similo History as we get into our school year, because I'm going to look for any opportunity I can to use games to make school fun.
Teach our children about Boudica.
Yes. Best queen ever.
Terrifying.
But it's $10. So this is a very small amount of money for a very fun game that, again, reading is great. Reading is not necessary for this game.
And that's Similo from Horrible Guild and Luma Imports. You cannot beat that game for $10.
Definitely not. But so is our next game. In fact, our next game is, I believe, $9. And that's Squire for Hire from Letterman Games.
I can do $8, Bob.
I'm not sure we can do that.
Yeah, I don't know about that. But this game is fantastic. We kickstarted the expansion to this game as well.
We did. I think Squire for Hire probably shines best as a solo game. But maybe with the expansion, it'll up its game a little bit for 2 players. At a 2-player game, it feels like it's over too quickly. But that's not a terrible thing to say about a game either.
Well, we've taken this game to like really quick lunch dates where we're at like a fast casual restaurant or something like that. And there's not really a whole lot of time between ordering our food and our food being ready. So having a game that lasts for literally 10 minutes and takes up a relatively small amount of space and is designed for 2 players, Oh, and fits in a purse or a pocket really, really easily. I mean, that's literally, like, that's perfect. Like, this is such a wonderful bite-size game. This is the bagel bite of board games, okay? Bagel bites are delicious, but they're tiny.
And you want more.
You want more of them if you have time and stomach space for more of them. But if you're, like, on the go, you want to slap them in the microwave for 30 seconds and then peace out, they're perfect. And that's what Squire for Hire is.
I like this. We should tell this to John Merchant. Squire for Hire is the bagel bite of board games.
The bagel bites of board games. All right. I'll take it. I'll take that one to the bank.
So that's Squire for Hire from Letterman Games. And you can get it for $9 either directly from the Letterman Games website or from Amazon.
Nine of your finest American dollars.
All right.
One of the things I mentioned was that this game fits really well in a purse or a pocket.
Which it does.
Yep. And the last thing that we want to talk about in this whole context of games that are under $20 are...
And add variety.
Our whole collection of games that'll fit in your purse or your pocket.
Yeah. We could not get out of this episode without talking about Button Shy.
Okay, so Button Shy is a company that only makes what they call wallet games.
They also make some small paperback book games, but even those are under $20 and can easily be taken with you wherever you go.
So I scoured the Button Shy website and I found one thing on their website that was over $20 and it was sold out anyway. Everything else is at or under $20.
So all their wallet games are $12 and they also make these Roll and Write game books, which are like a Roll and Write campaign. Those are $18, still very reasonable. But this is the thing with Button Shy. They have done so much experimentation over the last couple of years that for your $12, you could try just about any genre of board game in a wallet format.
I Split You Choose? Got it. 4X? Got it.
18XX? Got it.
Every single thing you can imagine, Button Shy has released a product that will fit the bill.
I mean, we've all got our favorites, and I would urge you to take a look at Desert Pack from our friends at Runaway Parade and published by Button Shy.
You mean not Tussie Mussie or Sprawlopolis, which are easily their best sellers?
Yes. All of them are good. They have solo games, they have two-player, they have three-player. There's a few that go higher than three-player, but not very many, but there's a couple. Tussie Mussie plays to 4. In Vino Morte plays to 9, 12, I don't know, something ridiculous. If you feel like there's some category of game that your library has been missing, you will be able to try it for $15, including shipping. That is
hard to beat that.
Really hard to beat deal.
Mm-hmm. So that's going to be it for us this week as we talk about games that you can add to your collection relatively inexpensively to add some variety or to try out a mechanic or some other way that you can maybe, I don't know, give the kids a little perk up right before they start up school, or maybe when they get home on that first day of school, if they're going to school, or maybe that non-academic time in the middle of the day or something to that effect, and you want to give them something new to do, pick up a game for $20. Abandon All Artichokes, $13. These are really great ways that you can just mix up what's going on without really damaging the wallet.
All of these games we highly recommend for that purpose. If you check the show notes on thefamilygamers.com for episode 208, there will be links for all of these to go find them on Amazon or other places. And we'll also have links to our full reviews for all the ones that we have reviewed in case you want a little bit more information before committing your hard-earned cash.
Which is actually most of the games that we've mentioned we've already released a review for.
All but about three, yeah.
But obviously we don't know everything. So I would encourage anybody who's listening to this, if you're thinking of a game that you picked up on the cheap and you really, really love that game, you think that is a great option for this kind of topic, there's a lot of different ways that you can let us know and let anybody else who's listening to this show know. You can talk to us on social media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at FamilyGamersAA, or you can share your thoughts in the Facebook community.
Go to thefamilygamers.com/community is the easiest way to get there.
While you're on Facebook, head over to facebook.com/FamilyGamersAA and check out the video of the kids shaving my head.
It's pretty great.
We got talked into shaving half of my head and then shaving the other half of my facial hair beard situation. So
It's pretty ridiculous.
It was very silly. And then I went out, as promised, to a couple different local establishments with my very strange and messed up haircut and took selfies there with our daughter.
There are other ways you can get in touch with us, though.
This is true. You can email us, andrew@thefamilygamers.com.
anitra@thefamilygamers.com.
Please don't forget to subscribe to the show, tell your friends about the show, and leave us a review at Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. You can also find us on Spotify, TuneIn, and Stitcher.
Last but not least, The Family Gamers is sponsored by First Move Financial. Go to firstmovefinancial.com/familygamers to learn how the team at First Move Financial can help you pile up the victory points. So I think that's going to be it for us this week. Until next week, play games with your kids.